Right, and where is it?
Oh. Iga Raven, Heir of the First Unicorn, Issue 4 is now on Kickstarter. Iga Raven, a half-unicorn, half-human princess, finds herself the unwitting pawn of a headstrong noblewoman trying to avoid an arranged marriage. But she finds a silver lining as she competes to become a knight, but her travels reveal many hardships and a growing obsession. Please check out all of the different levels, and this is also your last chance to collect my popular variant covers. So head on over to Kickstarter to make your pledge today.
Make your pledge today. What's up, George? What's going on in the House of Craze tonight?
In the House of Craze tonight, we have the very talented Matt Shore, and he's going to be talking to us about Moby Dick Back from the Deep, his comic book that is on Kickstarter right now.
Right now, man. Stay away from the water. Let's get it.
We are the only show for independence all around, giving you a platform to spread your word all over town. Cast the Craze is the place to promote to your fans with the dream of Medina and Santa Crazy Man. Subscribe to our show and never miss an episode. It's time to get your mans. Listen to us on the go. Updated every week. We never miss a day. Join the squad. Come on in. It's time to cast the Craze. If you are an independent,
cast the Craze.
Making moves on your own.
Cast the Craze.
On your grind in the streets.
Cast the Craze.
Join the movement.
Cast the Craze.
Yeah, George, we did it again. Come on now. You know you want to do it. Catch the Craze. Welcome to Catch the Craze Podcast. I'm your host with the most, Sam the Crazy Man Vera, and I am with
George the Dreamer Medina. What's happening, everyone? Welcome to another exciting episode of Catch the Craze. It is the 8 o'clock hour. It is April 6th.
We Ocho are live. Loco.
Ocho, Ocho. And we are live once again, and we have a Kickstarter special. We have a very special guest. His name is Matt Shore. He's got a cool-ass book called Moby Dick, Back from the Deep, which we'll be talking to him about. It's the complete series. This is the crowdfunding campaign for issue number 5.
So Cinco.
So the man is consistent.
So 8 o'clock and... Did you say why would the 5 came up?
What?
Why did number 5 come up? I don't know. Go ahead. Keep going.
I don't know. But if you guys are interested in content that includes independent artists from all walks of life and you want to talk about you want to hear about the creative process, then definitely give us a subscribe. Sign up, you know, subscribe, like, comment, do all that fun stuff. Make sure you hit the bell so that you know when we're coming live. Usually those things come up 30 minutes before the show comes live. We are normally live on Tuesdays and Wednesday evenings. So check us out. And we have a show on Thursday mornings at 9 a.m.
Yes.
So check us out there. But before we continue, Sammy, what's going on, dog? How you feeling?
Simple Specs on the menu. I'm doing okay. So
okay. All right. Okay.
I reloaded.
I love the energy. Real quick before you answer that, yesterday we came out a little flat, and we got to apologize to our peoples out there. I wasn't as apologize for nothing. We didn't have this energy. Nah. We got to give people the best of ourselves.
I'll give you something.
Oh wow. Carry on. How you doing? How you doing, Joey? How you doing?
So they're like that damn sale. So it's like George's like, damn it, I had a speech already. And this guy just
no, I had nothing. I had nothing prepared. I'm just happy we're smiling today.
Yes, you know what? When I run for office, you can run my campaign.
No, thank you. It's too much. No. The things that come out of your mouth, forget about it. We both be canceled.
Listen, let's not make Sam great again. Let's keep Sam great.
No. Let's make Sam sane again is what it's
going to
be.
Sane again. Oh, no, special shout out to our sponsor of this episode, Daphne Rage. Eagle Raven is currently on Kickstarter. If you haven't checked it out, it's on fire. She's killing it. She's breaking ground. She's breaking records. Eagle Raven on Kickstarter. Daphne Lage actually sponsored a month's worth of episodes of Cast of Craze. And she's doing well on Kickstarter. So check it out. The link's in the summary as well. But things are good. Again, I was supposed to receive the coloring books and the guidebooks for There's an Alien in My Toilet from the number one campaign. They are coming now tomorrow. I got an alert from UPS saying that it won't be here till tomorrow because of whatever weather conditions. And so I was going to work on them tomorrow to ship them out Friday. So now I'll be working on them Friday to ship it out Saturday. That's for those people who had those in their bundles. Everybody else who only had the variant covers and the stickers, that stuff was shipped out already on Monday. So over 30 packages were shipped out on Monday. And then I got another 33 packages to ship out this weekend. So and then that campaign will be done. And then hopefully you read it, you like it, and you sign up for part two of In My Toilet, as Duty is ready to bring the pain. And if you think number one's funny, number two is even funnier, the landing page is live. Go check it out. Sign up for the In My Toilet today on Kickstarter. We launch May 31st.
Yeah. Sign up today. What did you send out the sketch covers too? You got that out there?
Yeah, the sketch covers are, because the people who got the sketch covers got the guidebook and coloring book.
Yeah, I've seen some of the stuff you're doing. And for those who don't follow Sammy over at Art of Samuel V on Facebook and, you know, obviously on Instagram. But yeah, you got some cool stuff, man. You got some really cool. How long did it take you to do some of those covers?
I did all the covers. I started at 8 a.m. I finished by 3 p.m., 4 p.m.
Yeah, how many did you do? You had a lot.
I had six covers. All right, Moby Dick just got another backer.
Baby.
So I had six covers, and I had seven trading cards. Sketch cards. So six comic sketch covers and seven sketch cards.
Gotcha. All right, that's what's up. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. No. That's awesome, dude. I mean, listen. Like Sam said, once you guys get the book in the mail, make sure that you give it a read through. You know, laugh a little, and then let Sammy know what you thought. Send them some photos of you.
Yes, send those selfies up in here, man. Let me see your grill. Let me see you reading it. Whether you're cooking, whether you're in the yard with the kids, you know, whether you're in your office on the porcelain throne, whatever you're doing with the book. Yeah, that's what Tracy did with Cast of Crazies. Remember the other stuffed doll reading the book on the throne? Whatever floats your boat. Send us your selfies. I love to see it. And if you're an artist out there and you want to get featured in issue number two, send us your version of There's an Alien in My Toilet of Duty for a chance, because I think there's like nine artists that are featured in this book in the art section of the book. So it's pretty dope.
There you go. There you go. That's how you do it. That's how you do it.
But that's the same thing that's going on.
No. What else is going on is the Adventures of Wonder Duck. The Adventures of Wonder Duck is currently not live yet. May 4th is when we go live. But right now, the pre-launch page is up. So if you haven't yet, it's in the show notes. Make sure you hit that button and sign up. Get notified for when we launch. Now, we're going to do a nice launch party on May 4th. We're going to go live at 8 p.m. 8:30, I'm going to hit the button. And hopefully you guys come along for the ride that is The Adventures of Wonder Duck.
And again, let's see, what do we got? So what's up, Johnny's in the house.
Johnny!
I predict Wonder Duck will be funded in the first hour.
Listen, don't jinx me.
Do not. I ain't jinxing it. Yo, what I say is legit.
Oh my God, it's over. Guys.
Too legit. Please. Too legit to quit.
Hey. Now listen, for those who have already signed up to the pre-launch page, I got a little surprise for you. Okay.
Oh no. Jesus Christ. This guy's giving everything away. Yo, I gotta get a job to catch up with giving free stuff away.
I will give you the shirt off my back, literally.
Oh, dude. So,
Check it out. So for those who sign up to the pre-launch page,
I'm going to play the Candyman every time you do your now, speech. That's what I'm going to get. I'm going to get Sammy Davis Jr., the Candyman, when you speak.
The classic.
I like it. Make the sunrise.
All right. Listen.
What do you think?
Hey, listen. If you sign up to the pre-launch page, okay, and you let me know, though. Oh, hi. You have to let me know that you signed up. Go to either Jesus Christ. The Adventures of Wonder Duck, or you can follow me at Get Your Meds with a Z on Instagram. Sammy boy, I'm pleading. If you guys follow me there, if you follow the pre-launch page, let me know. Because what I want to do is I want to send you guys in the email format, a PDF of this guy right here.
The Candyman.
I'm going to send you a PDF as a thank you for signing up early. I will send you a PDF of this print. It's an 8x10 print. Now, if you pledge to the campaign when we go live on the 4th or at any point during the campaign, I will know who you are because I will have your information because you told me that you did it. And then I will include this 8x10 cardstock print in your package. And this is for physical backers only. You can do things like this. I framed mine. It's beautiful, gorgeous. So that's what I'm doing as a thank you for, you know, signing up early and supporting The Adventures of Wonder Duck, which I had a blast writing. So I hope you guys have a blast reading. That's all I got for that. Oh, also one more thing. And I said this in the last show. The day that we go live to launch the campaign, what I'm going to do is I'm going to be raffling off a T-shirt, a Wonder Duck T-shirt. It's going to come in, I think I have 4 or 5 colors, and it's going to come in, you know, male, female, youth. Annelies, yes. All right, send me your info. I need your info. So just look me up and then just send me your stuff. And I will send you that PDF. So, but I will be raffling off a T-shirt. Now, you just got to let me know what size, color you want, whatever. And I'll send it out to you. But this is going to be open to the people who sign up. So you want to sign up so you can be on my spinner. That night, I'm going to be spinning away and giving some T-shirts out, so you wanna sign up. That's all I got, Sam. Okay, Sam left me. All right, cool. What up, everybody? It's the Joey Medina Show.
The Candyman can, cause he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good. Look at them, man. Like all the free stuff, bro. All the free stuff.
Nah, man, you gotta thank the people out there, man.
I wanna thank you.
That's right. I wanna thank everybody, man. You know how hard it is to get people to follow you anywhere, bro, as an independent.
I know how hard it is to try to keep up with you giving everything away.
Bro, you gotta keep up. Just come along. Come along with the ride. Jump on. It's fun. It's a good time. It's a good time. It is fun. It is fun. It's fun to give stuff away sometimes.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, man. But yeah, no, it's gonna be good. I have some cool stuff lined up. Sammy's got a little print in there. You're gonna get some Sammy art. Stretch goals are starting to line up. You know, he did a little something for the campaign. A little something. So I'm gonna be showing you guys some of the stuff as we move along, as we get closer and closer. It is under 28 days away, so it's coming. It's coming fast and furious. So we're looking forward to that. But yeah, so what else is going on? Sam, you got your mouth open like you're doing something over there. I couldn't say it. Close your mouth, son. What are you doing? Yeah, what's going on?
Acting up. Stop acting up.
My man look lost over there. Get past
over there. Is that what it is?
What's going on, dog? You all right? Talk to me.
I was looking for something, man. I said something.
How about your boy?
I was looking for something. Sci-fi comic. I'll find it. Is that it? No, that's not it. That's not it. Anyway, so yes, that's not it. I was looking for something. Texas.
You were looking for the name of the place.
But I was looking for the name of the place, yes. For Aurelis. Yes. Yes,
I know how your mind works sometimes. Now,
yes, I saw her. I was like, oh, that's right. It was
prompted you, Aurelis. You always throw Sam off. Like Sam is in the middle. Aurelis comes in.
Ask me questions I'm not ready for. I'm like, what?
You gotta be ready. You know, Aurelis shows up. Hey, big shout out to you. Thank you so much for all of your support. You've been an amazing supporter of the craze. So we thank you very much.
Big time. Oh, yeah. This is it. I think
there you go. He found it.
It's called the Denton Comic Art Expo in Denton, Texas. That's what it is. Where's the website? I don't even know how to get the website. Anyway, it's called Denton, Denton Comic Art Expo It's on in August. It's all ages, it's all kids events. Anyway, got that out of my system.
But hold on. But give us the backstory. So what is this? What is this information you're getting?
This is the kids all ages comic book event that I'll be attending in August 26th. Well, I'm waiting for them to confirm my attendance. Okay. But it's a free to public, family friendly all ages comic convention and comic art expo hosted by the Greater Denton Art Council. The expo features cosplay contests, nerd trivia, design workshops, and get my mouse up there. There you go. Design workshops and a whole lot more. Panel discussions on comic art and video game design, food trucks, art vendors, independent creators, and more. Yeah. Sweet. So your boy's going to be there hanging with the kids, spreading duty and the crazies out there and spreading duty.
Spreading duty to the kids. What the hell?
No, wait. First of all, I just got, so I've been doing research, right? And I never, before we bring in our guests, I never watched Diary of a Wimpy Kid. But, you know, the guy blew up, right? He blew up. He had all these, I don't know, like 20 issues, books. And he had four live action movies and one 3D movie, right? So the three live action movies were legit. The fourth one, when they changed it and they put Reese Witherspoon and they changed the actors, it flopped. It flopped by like $40 million drop. From the previous predecessors. Right. But I loved the first three, and I loved the animation that came out last year. And I was just doing research on, how the pacing and all that stuff and timing and comedic, all that stuff. But I really enjoyed it. I spent a day just binge watching it. And I have two of the books, but I never read them. I bought them because I was going to add it to my list, but never read them. But when I watched the film, I was like, oh, this is pretty legit. Anyway. I really enjoyed it. I just want to say that. Because they flopped so bad with the 2017 version of when they changed all the cast, they decided to go 3CGI with the next one. And so they're doing another live action, but I don't know who the cast is. I just hope they don't bring back the new cast. But anyway. That was my two cents on Diary of Whoopi Kid.
That's Sam's brain for you. I don't know how we're gonna segue to Moby Dick from Diary of Whoopi Kid, but we're gonna try. And he's coming up next. Matt Short. Coming up
next, right after. If you didn't get enough of George's spiel on Wounded Duck, here it is.
Discharged into space, changing the life of one hapless duck and transforming him into a hero called Wonder Duck.
Welcome, Matt, to Catch the Craze.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Hey, what's going on, Matt? How are you?
Thank you. You're wearing his favorite color, so thank you.
Oh, yeah, sporting green. Green Arrow, my second favorite superhero.
There you go. Who's your first?
First is Superman.
Ah,
right.
Always got to go with the first and best.
There you go.
Nice. What do you say to the people that tell you that Batman's a superhero?
I'm fine with everybody liking what they like, but Batman fans do sometimes irritate me because it's always the same thing. When they say Batman's more relatable because he's human, my answer is always he's hardly human, because if you've read DC Comics at all, he has a contingency plan for everything, even the most ridiculous things.
And the justification
is, well, it's because he's Batman. And the other thing I say to them is like, so just so that we're clear, you're telling me that this uber wealthy one percenter who lives alone in a mansion with a British butler is relatable? Just make sure I've got that straight.
There you go. Oh man, I got a buddy who loves Superman, dude, so he's totally on your side about that. Yeah, he loves Superman. But thank you so much for being on the show, Matt. We really appreciate you coming on. And for those who don't know, this is Matt Shore. He is the creator and writer of the book Moby Dick, Back from the Deep. You are up to your fifth campaign, right? This is the fifth book. Now, you funded all of them through Kickstarter. Is that how you did it?
Sure did. Yeah, it actually started as a webcomic. So, I mean, the story goes even farther back. It's one of those sort of, I don't know, call it just a refusal to give in. It's like, I'm going to tell this story no matter what. And here we are.
That's amazing, dude. That's amazing. But before we go into Moby Dick, let's get the people more acquainted to who Matt Shore is. So just give us a brief, just who is Matt Shore? Introduce yourself to the audience.
Sure. The best way to sum me up is I'm a writer, a podcaster, a columnist, and a Halloween uber enthusiast. So yeah, our house is that house throughout the months of both September and October. We're like 2 months now, not just October anymore. If Christmas gets to gobble up Thanksgiving, then we get to have September. It's only
When do you start doing all your decorations? Is September?
Early September. So usually the first week. There's no really like firm date that we do it, but we go crazy. Like we got the 12-foot skeleton. And then I've actually built some of my own things. I built this kind of pumpkin head scarecrow like creature with smoke coming out of its mouth. Now it's nothing like you're gonna see at like a Halloween haunters convention, but
that's amazing. You know,
for a guy who's humbly amateur efforts in a little neighborhood, I think it looks pretty good.
I'm the extreme opposite. I'm the guy that turns off all the lights. You know, we order in, we hide up. So true story. When I moved to New Jersey, we first bought our house. We moved into his community. We didn't know that because we had a corner lot, that corner was the beginning of like the Halloween extravaganza. That area was always in the papers because it brought thousands of people from all across Jersey and New York, because my neighbors went crazy. I mean, it looked like museums. They all had these, it looked like movie sets. So we just moved in. It's our first Halloween. I'm wondering why every day leading up to Halloween, we have police, you know, guiding us to our house. Well, there's all this traffic. They're all going there. The night of Halloween, it looked like the night of the living dead. I had to have a police escort onto my property because the streets were crowded. I get in there, turn off all the lights. I ordered pizza, the poor guy. He rings the doorbell. I open the door. They see, they run, and I grab him. I turn him around. I said, tell him I don't have any candy. He thought I was good, and he thought they were going to kill him. And so he goes, they don't have anything. They don't have anything. They walk away. He turns around. He goes, I thought you could throw me into them. So I give him a tip, but that was my story.
Oh, you gave him a tip. That's nice of you, Sam.
Good of you to do the bare minimum for this.
That's my Halloween extravaganza.
I have very strong feelings about Halloween, and if there's time after we've talked about Moby Dick, I'll be happy to share them, but I can get on a soapbox about Halloween.
Oh, man. So Jonathan says that he loves books linked to great movies, and that's fantastic. And we were talking in the green room about your you know, what led to writing this book, and we'll get into that in a few minutes. But that's funny, man. Like, as far as you starting all the way early September, where do you live in the Northeast? Like, where in the country are you?
I would say mid-South. I live in Tennessee. We're close to the Fort Campbell Army Post.
So what are the seasons like down there? Because like here in New York, obviously we have like, you know, in September, the trees start changing colors. Do you guys have that down there? And I sound like an idiot because I've never been down there.
No, it's we tend to run through all four seasons sometimes a week at a time. It's pretty insane. Currently, we seem to be somewhere between winter and spring. The weather never makes up its mind in this part of the country. But October typically is very comfortable. It's just before the temperatures start to drop. So it's a great, as long as it doesn't storm, because in that kind of time between seasons, it can, you know, weather can be pretty chaotic, especially around here. But it's often really comfortable, really, really nice out. And so it just lends itself perfectly to a bunch of trick-or-treaters going around. And like, it's not enough for me to deck out the house. I dressed myself up last year. I was like a steampunk Terminator out of the front lawn, had a top hat with half my face peeled off and bronze metal underneath. Wow. Like, welcome, come on in, come in.
Oh man, that's awesome, dude. I miss that. Like I miss those days. I remember growing up and like obviously going trick-or-treating and doing all that fun stuff. And like as you get older, you know, unless like you keep it up like you do, like you have that spirit, you lose it a little bit. And when you don't, you know, obviously when you have kids, it's different because you're trick-or-treating with the kids. But once they get older, you know, that's done. But I love that you keep that spirit, man. Now Have you always been passionate about horror and Halloween? Has that been you growing up?
Yes. Oh, okay. Yes. Big yes. I can date it as far back. Like the two big things I remember from my childhood, I was the kid with a Freddy Krueger folder. I don't know if the kids these days still take folders with them to school, but I had a Freddy Krueger folder in first grade that's had like scrawled like with his claws, Sweet Dreams Kitties or something like that. That was that kid. And my other memories, and I think this is what solidified me as a horror fan, was when I was young, it's about the time that Tales from the Crypt became offered on basic cable. Mm. And so that came on. If anybody remembers the disclaimer, it would say, you know, the following is not intended for all audiences. Viewer discretion is advised. Right. Well, to an 8-year-old boy, what that translates to is stay tuned for something really awesome. And so I watched it. And of course I fell in love with it. The Crypt Keeper is the man. And yeah. And it really just snowballed from there. Like in high school, my favorite dates were when there was a Friday the 13th, because that meant there'd be a marathon somewhere on TV. I had to go watch it, order a pizza, and that was my weekend.
Oh, dude, so, yeah. That's amazing, man. So did you ever have, like, nightmares as a kid? Like, nothing scared you?
I'm sure I did. Right. And, I mean, if you want to – I can tell you what scared me as a kid, and it still scares me today, is the dark. And I think everybody really is afraid of the dark. It's not so much like this wild monster out there. It's like, what could be there? I don't really know what's there. It's part of why, you know, Jaws was so scary, is because you didn't see it. Like, what's happening under the water? All I know is there's blood everywhere. So that's the most effective. And of course, I'm claustrophobic. So the movie Descent traumatized me.
You know, you mentioned the dark, and I think it's a cliche, but I think we're everybody, or not everybody, but I would say people are afraid of the unknown, right? Mm-hmm. That's what scares us the most. And you can't see in the dark, so you don't know what's out there, and that does get scary. I remember as a little kid, if I was going into like the kitchen and it was dark, you know, you'd kind of flick that light real quick so that you make sure that it's light, because you don't want to be in the dark. You don't know what's in there. You don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's interesting, man. That's interesting. That's cool. Did your passion for writing, like, where did that come from, and was it stemmed from like just those scary movies you were watching, the Crypt Keeper and all that other fun stuff?
You know, it must have. I can't really pinpoint exactly where it came from, because the moment I started learning how to read and write in first grade, I started doing it. Like, I just wanted to. And there's actually a picture of me. And I went and I found this in one of my parents' old photo albums, where we're like on a vacation down in Florida on the beach. We're up in our condo, and I'm like on the balcony writing a story on a paper towel of giant sharks attacking people on the beach. So, naturally.
Of course.
Nice. So this is your, sixth campaign?
This sixth total, yes, because I have done one other book, but it's the fifth one for Moby Dick. Yeah.
It's the fifth one for Moby Dick. So before we go into the story, what are some of the lessons you learned from your first campaign to now? Things that you eliminated from your strategy and things that you still apply today?
I think the biggest thing that I added was to just never stop looking for new ways to get the word out. Any little thing that you can possibly do to get the word out. So I guess if anybody is listening to this looking for tips, that's my biggest tip. Tell people about it, because you could have the greatest story in the world, but if nobody knows about it, nobody's going to buy it, because they just don't know. Right. So you've got to tell them, and you've got to tell them it's good. And that's a hard thing for a writer, I think, to like promote your stuff, because writers by our very nature can be kind of introverted. And the loud, outspoken guy you're looking at right now, it took several years for me to get here to become this obnoxious. It took a while, but that's the biggest thing. Yeah. Look for, you know, podcasts, online shows, and flyers. Like, I put flyers up in local comic book shops that were willing to do it. Yeah. And I had to ask. I had to go up to them and say, hey, would you mind doing this? Mm-hmm. And I'm lucky enough that the comic book shop here, I'll give them a cheap plug, Rick's Comic City, Clarksville, Tennessee. Please. They're a fantastic place. They're big on promoting local writers. And like they've invited me to free comic book day every year. Local bookshops as well. Just anybody willing to talk about it. Car magnets.
Nice.
Well, the other thing is to find ways that are free. All of us indie writers don't have money.
that's the big one, because everything costs, right? And it isn't easy. I mean, you know, getting the word out. And I think now, because you know, I think a lot of the retailers are a lot more apprehensive of supporting the unknown guys, right? Because they're not making any money off of us. They're making money off of the mainstream, and they don't want to take away from it. So it's, so when you get those few that willing to support, you know, that's all the better for to it boosts your confidence as well when you know you have that local support.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's huge. And one thing I'll just add to that as well is try to, you know, as they say, pay it forward. When somebody who does like a podcast like this one, you guys invited me on, I definitely want to make sure and back your stuff, because we're all this community together.
I agree.
And I can't take this credit for this quote, but some great guy once said that together we rise. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think that's very true. So yeah. And even if you can't, you know, jump in and, you know, pledge $50, throw in a dollar or right. You know, throw in $5 or whatever. And it's the same way with Rick's Comic City. I don't buy a lot of comics, but the handful I do want, I always try to go to them and say, hey, can you give me a little pull box and get these for me? And they're always happy to do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, any way you can also return the favor, so to speak, is also a very big deal.
Absolutely. Yeah. And yeah, you do have my support because I'm number 43. So.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
And Matt, quick question for you, because you said something very, very important. I think that for any young writers who are out there watching the show and like, yo, how do I do this? You said that, you know, obviously a lot of us are introverted. How did you kind of get over that shyness and kind of come out of that shell a little bit? What were some of the things that you tried to do to get out and kind of be able to speak about what you're doing and do that kind of thing?
I wish I could give you something more profound than this, but really you just got to make yourself do it. And I had the benefit of working in journalism for 10 years. I was a reporter and then later an evening editor for two separate community newspapers. And you have to go out and talk to people. And sometimes you got to go out and talk to the mayor, which may seem kind of daunting. Now, for me, it was easy because it was a small town. Everybody knew everybody. That helps. But yeah, and what you'll find is once you do it once, it starts getting a little bit easier every time.
Right.
That's why I say me, like, I didn't used to be this obnoxious. It took early on, I was only kind of obnoxious. And now I'm the lovable curmudgeon that sits before you today.
Curmudgeon. I haven't heard that word in a while.
That's a great word. Yes. Dude, he was a reporter, editor. I mean, the man's got words. Yep. He's got words.
No, it was one of my old bosses used to call her peer a curmudgeon all the time.
That's awesome.
I worked with a curmudgeon, or two, at least two curmudgeons. Yeah, definitely two.
Nice. So, tell us about what was the inspiration behind it, bro?
Okay. Inspiration can come from bizarre places, I have found. And that's definitely true with this story. I was just perusing YouTube, which is always a bad idea. And I happened across one of those really stupid mashup videos where somebody took footage from the made-for-TV Moby Dick movie with Patrick Stewart, which I recommend. Patrick Stewart is awesome as Ahab. And I think it was from an old 80s film called Millennium, where this aircraft carrier travels through time. Anyway, it all comes together for Ahab traveling through time, finding a nuke, and drops it on the whale. And that's your story. And for whatever reason, this just stuck with me. This idea of Ahab hunting this whale throughout time. And I took out the time travel element and thought, let's make it really just brutal. It's like, for centuries, he's hunting this whale and can't find it. And the premise being that, you know, because he was so obsessed with hunting it in life, he's now cursed to continue hunting it in death. Wow. And he'll never know peace until he finally destroys this whale once and for all. And in this story, the whale is more than just an animal. It actually is some of the things that Ahab sort of projected onto it. It is this kind of otherworldly just beast from the depths, just out to cause chaos. And so that's sort of like his penance or his atonement for the way he was in life, is to hunt this thing down and remove its menace from the world once and for all.
That's awesome.
Wow, that's pretty dope. You know, it's funny because you answered both my questions, because I was like, all right, so what was it that Moby was doing that's causing him to want to stop him? Like, what is there any singular thing that affected him personally in your story, or it was just because he's a menace?
The whale. We never really, I never really go into that. I've got my own kind of ideas as to why, but that's one of those. I do like stories sometimes that leave things a little open for the reader to decide. So kind of like I think Mark Hamill once said, if you think Luke Skywalker is gay, well, then of course he's gay, because it never really says one way or another.
Yeah.
So my story's along the same lines. There are some things I intentionally left out because he's not really a central character. It really centers more on the main character, of course, Catherine Barlow, the daughter of the mayor in this town that is besieged by this whale, and of course, Ahab and his crew. It's their story more than anything else, even though the title is Moby Dick.
Yeah.
But so yeah, anyway, long way around, again, to just say that the whale's motivations, I never come right out and say it, so whatever people want to interpret with that, I like leaving a few things open to people.
No, it's good. It's good. I mean, I was telling you, I mean, and thank you for sending us the first chapter of the book. And like the way it's written, it's very novel-ish, right? And you said you had started it out thinking about writing it as a novel. Tell us a little bit about why you decided to go the other way and do it into a graphic novel.
Sure. Because I've written novels before. I have a handful that I've written both for adults and for young readers, always thrillers and horror stories, because that's who I am, that's what I do. But as I was writing this one, it just felt much more visual to me as I was telling this story, because when you write a novel, it can be a lot more introspective, and this one felt like it's much more like just you need to see these things to really make them resonate. So that I went back and I'd written maybe I'm gonna say 3 or 4 chapters, so I had the prelude done. And so I went back and I reworked that as a comic, and that just really worked, because then I was able to divide each one into each issue into three acts. Mine went blank there. Sorry. three separate acts per issue to kind of divide the story up and figure out where I was going with it. And then above all else, the thing that really made it work was when I found the artist Joe Bilicic. I cannot praise Joe's work enough. Right. It is just phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And his artwork to me is the whole reason whatever success I have is because of that artwork. It's so good, because there's no way that I could have done it. I'm not an artist. Mm-hmm. That died in me around grade school. But like I said, going back to the decision, it was early on, so it's not like I'd written the whole book.
Right.
So switched it early and then just started doing it as a comic. And just the more I did it as a comic, the more it just felt right. It just felt perfect that way.
Yeah.
To write it and then just kind of let the pictures tell the story from there.
Yeah. And you know what? Like you were talking about your artist, his artwork definitely lends itself to that graphic novel look. Like, you know what I mean? It's not something that you I don't know. I mean, you probably draw Superman great, but I'm saying like this actually fits what you're writing. There is horror, you know, the jaggedy lines that he uses. And we'll share the screen and we'll show your campaign and people can see what I'm talking about. But the jaggedy lines, like that kind of stuff, you know, it really does lend itself. How did you meet your artist? How did you guys get together?
Sure. It was before Fiverr was even a thing. That's how far back I've been doing this. We connected through a message board called Digital Webbing. And yeah. I think it's still out there. I think people still utilize this. Mm-hmm. But I just put out a call for artists saying, you know, I have this project, here's what I'd like to do. Here's my budget. Can you work with me? And I had several people respond, and all the art that I got was good. It was a lot of really good artwork. There was photorealistic artwork. There was superhero style. There was fantasy style. But Joe's was the one that I saw. And the first thing I thought of was Mike Mignola and Hellboy. And sure. It's like that was what I wanted. Like I wanted the visuals to be, I didn't want photorealism. Again, going with that, I wanted it to be surreal, to sort of look mythical, even though it does take place in present day. Mm-hmm. A very stylized look, and his was just exactly what I wanted. And again, like I said, I can't praise him enough. His style speaks for itself. It's so fantastic.
Yeah, look, I mean, is that's his image that he did this, right?
Actually, that one, funnily enough, that's a different artist, a friend of mine who actually works for Heavy Metal Magazine, if I can throw out that cheap plug. He designed a couple images for me, and I've awesome. Tried to pimp him out as much as I can. It's like, hey, I have a heavy metal artist too, by the way, who did this.
Oh, nice. Dude, that looks good, man.
Nice, nice. So how long is your trailer?
About, ask me and I forgot. I'm going to say about 2 minutes.
All right, let's play. I'm going to play it.
Okay.
Let me get the audio back up.
More than 100 years ago, a white whale ravaged the high seas and disappeared. Brother Dick Bad from the Deep is the one and only comic book sequel to Herman Melville's classic. And in it, the white whale is back in modern times, now as a zombified beast, causing chaos and devastation everywhere it goes. We just wrapped up the final issue of this series, so this Kickstarter is your chance to read the entire horrifying tale from beginning to end. Now, if that's all the information you need to make your decision, and you want to stop this video here, hey, I understand. But there is an interesting backstory to this series that I'd like to tell. We've actually been doing this thing for 4 years. It's hard to believe, but I checked back on when we posted the first page, and that's how far back it goes. This thing began as a humble webcomic, and just wanted to get the story out there. Interest kept growing. It was slow at first, but it started building, getting bigger and bigger. When it was big enough, we took a stab at printing the first issue. That worked. People liked it. So we kept going. And then we started showing up on different things. Podcasts, web shows, blogs. I even did a few interviews on newspaper and radio. Now, luckily, I never showed up on the television news studio because, let's just face it, this is not a mix for television. But people seem to like this story. And it's been a wonderful, wonderful ride. And it's bittersweet to see it close. But here's something that we end things on a very big note. Before I close this video, I want to make sure to mention a big part of the success, not only the people who supported us along the way, and big thanks to all of you who did that. And I want to make sure to mention Joe Belisic's artwork. It's second to none. It's exactly what this story needed. It's fantastic. It's surreal. It's dark. It's grim. It's love. Thanks so much for your support. I hope you'll join it again and enjoy the ride.
Awesome.
Fantastic, right. Man. Fantastic.
Yes. So this, I love this cover right here.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
That one's one of the only covers where I went back and asked him to make some changes. Initially, it had Catherine leaning out over the side, and I asked Joe. I said, "I think we really need Ahab out there. It's like, let's keep Catherine in it, but Ahab needs to be the one hanging over the side because he's pretty anxious to finally end this quest."
Nice, nice. I mean, good call because it's. I love the watercolor look, like that wash look. It's pretty slick.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I really love the fact that the whale is in it, but it's not the most, you know what I mean? Like it doesn't, you don't like automatically go to it. You kind of have to travel through the page to find it coming out of the water. So that's freaking awesome, man. And these are some of the pages, right?
Yeah. This is page one of issue number 5. So we've got the first 4 pages up there on the Kickstarter, and that particular page where we see Catherine falling into the water, that's one of my favorites. It's just so cool. And then of course the follow-up there where she's like face to face with the whale, this is 4th and 5th issues where we really got to start having some fun. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, you have to set things up and keep building, and this is what we were getting towards. So this is where I feel like Joe really got to cut loose.
Yeah.
I mean, his use of blacks and grays is just beautiful.
Yeah. You know, it's when you read the first issue and then you look at her and here, and it's like that character arc that you've created for this character is really well done. Because when you first meet her, she's not this person. You know what I mean? So it's really well done.
Thank you. That was one I really wrestled over because I wanted to do it right. Because I knew that the end point I wanted her to get to. So I kept like revisiting like each issue, like, okay, am I progressing enough? Is it going to make sense? And I feel like it did. I think she has every reason to be where she is by the time we get to this issue.
Oh man, this is great. 80,000 readers online.
As of now, I think it's over 100,000.
Wow. Yeah. Good for you.
Thank you.
That's amazing, man. So this is the 5th issue. And now is there like a, I mean, you're going to go through the tiers, but is there like a catch up tier where like you can get 1 through 5, or are you doing this as a trade? Just clarify that a little bit for us.
Sure, absolutely. Of course, we don't have trades, but we do have every single issue available, which is part of why we called this, rather than just call it a number 5, we said the complete series. Nice. So, and we made it where, you know, whatever point you're at, like issues number 1 through 5, they're all available in single form as either print or digital or add-ons. Just, you know, just for whatever reason, like if all you want is to try the first issue and see if you like it, you can do that. If you've got the first 2 issues and you only want the third one, you know, we wanted whatever sort of situation you're in to be able to accommodate. So yeah, both digital and print, whichever issue you want to get, or all of them. It's we're happy to accommodate whatever you would like.
Yeah, this is great, man. This is great. And you've already unlocked one stretch goal. You're heading over to your second one now.
Yeah, we're getting very close now. We're less than $100 away as of this podcast. So thanks, guys. Appreciate it. And everybody who jumped aboard while we were recording. That's very cool.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, that's awesome, man. Yeah, listen, doing Kickstarters are not an easy thing. And you've done five for this particular book. And you know, success, man, it's been great. And you know, I'm happy for you. This looks great.
Thanks so much. You're right. Kickstarters can be exhausting. Mm. Absolutely wear you out.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Oh man.
So outside of the campaign, are you where can people get your books if they missed the campaign?
Sure. You can look up my website, mattshore.net. That's mattschorr.net. Right now, if you go there, there's a nice giant splash page that'll redirect you to the Kickstarter. Feel free if you don't know how to find the link, that's a simple way to do it. But there's also a link there that goes to, we've got a shop. You can get either digital versions of my books or print versions. And we offer everything there as well.
Nice. So this is the moment where we give you the screen and you give us the elevator pitch. Why Moby Dick and where can they find you? So here you go.
All right. So more than 100 years ago, stories told of a white whale that ravaged the high seas, cost a lot of sailors their lives. Then that whale just disappeared. Well, today that whale is back. And this Kickstarter is your chance to get the entire series of the white whale returning in modern times as a zombified beast causing chaos and devastation wherever he goes. And he's followed close behind by the zombified remains of Captain Ahab and his crew. So if you want to follow that, of course, you can go to my website, mattshore.net, like we just mentioned. And you can also follow all of my social media channels. I'm on Twitter at, as you can see right here, TheMattShore. I'm also on Instagram at TheShore. And you can find me on TikTok at The1MattShore. It's The1MattShore. And I'll be promoting all this stuff on there, as well as other stuff that I've got going on.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Well, you know, I mean, fantastic. It's no wonder why you were funded, and you're up to 44 now. Look at that.
Oh, cool. Thanks, guys. So much.
Yeah, so it's moving. So again, you have Duty's colors on. You know, Duty says hello from Uranus, and so.
When do we speak like this to our guests? When do we start speaking like this to our people?
And but again, thank you for coming on Catch the Craze. We wish you a lot of success. Yes. And you know, whenever you have whatever you're promoting, just hit us up, you know.
I'll do it, definitely. Yeah. Thanks so much, guys. I appreciate it.
Matt, sure, this was fun, Matt. We're gonna have to have you back. We're gonna talk about more of your stories. I know you got another one, Jesus Christ. What was the name of the one that you did also?
That's the one that, yeah, people on the internet know me for Moby Dick. People at comic conventions here in the Bible Belt know me for the Jesus Christ comic.
If you have no idea what I'm talking about, check out the Kickstarter. It's one of the pledges there. You can get more, let's just say more of Matt's work on the Kickstarter. At the end there. But thank you so much, Matt, for coming on. And this was fun, man. We'll have to do it again. And if I'm ever in Tennessee during Halloween, I'll just look out for your house. I'll know which house is yours because
you'll you will, yes. Yeah. Just you can't miss us.
Just lock your doors. Lock your doors. Matt, would you let him in? He's not gonna leave. All right. Thanks again, buddy.
All right, man.
So that was Matt Shore. And again, it's Moby Dick, Back from the Deep, the complete series. Go and get yourself a copy. The link is in the summary. it's pretty dope. I mean, the colors are dope. The artwork is dope. You know, the story sounds fantastic. You know, the guy put in a lot of work in it. So go and support your independent creators out there.
That's right. Let's help him get to that second stretch goal. 1,200? So, you know, he's about what?
$53 away.
Yeah, a little over 50 bucks, $53 away. Let's get that stretch goal. It's always fun to kind of have some indies, you know, myself too, like, struggle with the next stretch goal because like, oh shoot, 1200 now what's going to be my next one? So let's see what Matt comes up with. So
I want to unlock my first stretch goal.
Why you gotta bring it back to you? Why you gotta bring it back to you? Stop it. This is about Matt right now.
It's a point. It's like as a stretch goal. I don't even know what that is. Only stretching I'm doing is in the morning after I get a freaking hamstring cramp.
Oh man. Unbelievable. Anyway, yeah, support Matt's book. Thank you, Matt, for coming on the show. That was amazing, man. He did a great job. Great interview.
Interview. Very confident. Had his pitch down pack. You know, most of the time we give people the screen, they're like, damn.
This wasn't his first rodeo, bro. He's been doing this. He was a reporter. Dog, he's ready. He's ready.
You're like, can I phone a friend? You didn't tell me I had to do a pitch. You actually, you're going on to woo the audience. Get your pitch down. He got it down packed. It was easy breezy.
Yeah, no, quick. Yeah, he didn't stumble over his words. You know, he knew exactly, you know, what it wasn't like a whole, you know, he's giving you a whole story. It was quick.
It was good point, concise, right there. Boom, got you interested, right? Yeah, it was intriguing. All the elements you want in a good elevator pitch, right? So it's one of those things. You remember, you're getting in the elevator. The executive's like, "Yo, what are you doing?" He goes, "Hey, can I talk to you about my stuff?" Well, you got till I get to the next floor. Boom. And then we get stuff. You know what? Come off with me. Let's go get a cup of coffee. You did it right. But if you're in there, like, oh, damn. Well, you know, it's about. You know, you like comics, you know, because I read comics and that's why I decided to create the comics. You know,
and he's at the floor.
I'm like, what the hell are you it's doing? Over. I'm pressing the fire alarm on the Time's elevator. Like, help me.
Time's up.
I know.
Oh, man. No, but good stuff, man. And then, you know, hopefully. He can get to some more stretch goals. How much time is left on the Kickstarter?
You got 40 hours.
40 hours left, guys.
Yeah. Almost under 2 days.
Let's do it. So, yeah. So, April 8th. So, it ends Friday, April 8th at 1:01 p.m. Yes. So
Eastern Standard Time.
That's right.
12:01 Central.
So, if you're everybody who gets paid on Friday, you know what you got to do with that money. Drop some money in there. Drop some money in the bucket.
No money, no honey.
He's got some good tea.
That's what they say on the strip.
Interesting. You're different. You're different ever since you moved to Texas.
Remember Full Metal Jacket?
Oh, Full Metal Jacket. The first half of that movie was amazing.
I know. Oh, man. Yeah, when they were walking and they had the streetwalker. Hey, GI.
That's the second half of the movie. That's the second half of the movie. The first half of the movie is when, she's the fan at the end.
Oh,
of that,
the sniper was the little girl.
Oh, man, that's terrible.
And she was taking him out, and they finally, I was vicious.
Terrible.
And then when they all start singing Mickey Mouse at the end.
Jesus Christ, ruined it for everybody. What
Yo, come on, that was in the 80s. If it's ruined, if you didn't see it by now, I'm sorry. You have plenty of time. I want to hear it. That was the only time I went to the theaters with my mom. We did a double feature. It was me and my mom, my best friend, my stepfather, which, he never made an honest woman of her, so he was the boyfriend. And we went to, that was the only time I went to the theaters with my mom, and we saw Predator and Full Metal Jacket at the Sunrise Theater.
Nice.
Yes. And it was a great day. And then we went to City Island. It was a great day.
City Island, man. That's the spot right there.
Yeah, man. That was the jizzoint. But Predator. I mean, when Predator came out, man.
That was great.
It's still up there. Can you believe what's happened to Bruce Willis, man?
Yeah, man. That's sad, dude.
Yeah, it breaks my heart.
Yeah, he just has to stop.
You know what even sucks even more is that, he wasn't in any of the future Expendables because, Sylvester Stallone said he's a selfish Pig, I wonder if they made amends.
Yeah, I don't know. George is the second half of a Metal Jacket. He don't know.
He don't know. He fell asleep. That's why he fell asleep in a second.
Bro, the more interesting characters are in the first half of the movie.
Now, the whole movie.
That drill sergeant stole the movie from me. Like, that drill sergeant was the man. Like, and after he
was
after
that guy that, in Law and Order or CSI?
Who, the drill sergeant?
No, Fat Body, Private Fat Body. He was Law and Order or CSI as a detective.
I don't know.
I think it was Law and Order, Criminal Justice. I think it was.
He was.
First of all, if you didn't know by looking in his eyes that he was a little special. And then you're going to push him and you're going to poke the bear and you're going to beat him with soap and socks and coins. What? And you're going to keep picking on him. You know he's going to blow up. Oh, and the fact that the drill started still went in there when he had a rifle.
Oh, shoot. Wait, is he the – he's Private Pyle?
Yeah, Private Pyle, yeah.
That's the kingpin. Holy cow.
Yes. Damn. And he was also Law and Order.
He's come a long way, bro.
Man, get with the program, man. The
kingpin. Yeah, you didn't say kingpin. You said Law and Order. How old are you?
Stop. He's in Law and Order.
I know, but he's the kingpin. Forget all Law right, and Order. So? Oh, you say he's the kingpin. I'm like, oh, yeah, I know that guy.
No, Jesus. You need some Law and Order.
He was in Hawkeye, too. He was in Hawkeye at the end of that.
You said Orca.
Walker. Give me some water and some coffee. Oh, speaking of coffee, tomorrow morning.
Jelly donuts.
Who's coming to see us tomorrow morning?
Tomorrow morning, the Morning Brew with the Crazy Crew, where we talk about the real reason you got into comics. Was it because you can't make the grade? They didn't let you into the boys club? Were you rejected? Why did you do indie comics? Why did you decide to become a publisher? I know I have... I think 68 rejection letters in my box, you know? So I'm no stranger to rejection. I'm like, they're like, slam the door, get out of here, kid. I'm like, oh, damn. Back on the pavement, walking the streets again.
Nice. I hate authority. I'm not big on authority, so I don't want to work for anybody. I mean, I'm working for somebody now, but.
Yeah, I don't work for anybody. Your boss called you, George.
Hey, yo, man, you better get those photos. Oh,
yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I got to go. So we're going to be talking about that tomorrow. If you're going to join us tomorrow, please give us a thumbs up on this right now that you'll be there. What did Arella say? I missed it.
The duality of the man.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. So check us out tomorrow. We're going to be talking about that. We're going to have some other stuff that we're going to be talking about. So find out what it is tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, yes. 8 a.m. Central Standard Time. And big shout out to our peoples in the West Coast who wake up with us to watch.
Yeah, we got some people that come early. And a shout out again to the official sponsor of this episode, Daphne Lage, Eagle Raven, currently running on Kickstarter right now. She's killing it. I think she has 7 days to go. She's on fire. She's about to break 5,000. Man, 5,000.
Good for her.
I aspire to do that when I grow up. So it's what's that face for, George?
Hey, listen, aspirations are good. That's all I'm saying. What? You always think I'm digging. Damn, dog.
Yeah, yo, man, because you're the digger. George is a digger. But so this is another great episode. We appreciate every single one of you. You know, help spread the word. Share this the program with a friend. If you're an independent creator, help spread the word of Catch the Craze. When we grow, you grow. And the more eyes on the show, the more eyes on our guests. And so if you're listening to us on Spotify or Pandora or iHeartRadio, please give us a rating, a 4-star rating. That'd be great. And if you haven't done so and you listen to us on the streaming services, head over to YouTube and subscribe to our channel and let us know how you found us. And if you want to be a guest on Cast the Craze, all you have to do is hit the summary and hit the calendar and pick a spot and just follow the instructions. All right.
So real quick. If anybody's signing up, just remember, listen, normally our 7 p.m. shows are designated for recordings because we want to have shows for the end of the week. And then our 8 p.m. shows are our live shows. So if you are signing up and I get it, it's a little confusing because you have the 6 p.m. and 7 p.m. because it's under Eastern Standard Time. So a lot of people are like, wait a minute, 7? Or George said 8. Why 7? It's under Eastern Standard Time. So when you sign up, it's going to show you 6 p.m. and 7 p.m. The later times are always the lives. So if you want to come on live with us, then sign up for that later time. But if it's not something that's, you know, that's, it's not a Kickstarter, it's not a crowdfunding campaign, it's the earlier one is the one for you, because we're going to pre-record it and then we'll air it later. So just make sure you keep that in mind when you're signing up.
Crowdfunding campaigns, we usually go live. Non-crowdfunding campaigns are pre-recorded.
Yes.
So if you've read, when you're signing up for the show, it tells you there. So don't post, hey, I'm going to be on tonight, when it's a 7 o'clock spot. That means it's
pre-recorded. The earlier spot.
And so now I changed the information. So now when you sign up, just drop your links and the graphic that you need in when you're signing up, so we know exactly where to tag you, because I'm getting exhausted trying to find you. Please leave your social tags and send us your best graphic that you want us to use in the thumbnails.
Yes, and make it hot. Make that graphic hot.
Because if you let me pick it, it's over.
Because then it's not going to be hot.
It's over. You're going to have this great character, and I'm going to find that supporting character all in the background.
He's going to find high school pictures of you from 1982.
I'm going to catch you when you were flicking the most awkward photo.
Flicking a wedgie or something. Don't do it.
Remember that episode of Seinfeld where he goes, I was scratching, but she thought he was picking? Mm. That's the picture I'm going to get.
Yes. So make sure you send us the image so Sam doesn't have to pick it.
Absolutely.
Tomorrow morning, we're back at 9 a.m. So
tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Again, thank you again. Moby Dick on Kickstarter. Wonder Duck, sign up today on Kickstarter. There's an alien in my toilet. Sign up today on Kickstarter. It's all about Kickstarter. Can I kick it? Yes, you can. Yes, with that said, I'm Sam the Crazy Man Vera.
George the Dreamer Medina. Peace.
We are.
It's just easy. It does not.
Crazy. Acquiesce.
No, I was talking about my friend Acquiesce. I met him.
Say my name,
right?
This is what you were thinking?
Oh, he's describing. He said, I'm the
idiot. What? Catch the craze. You're listening to Catch the Craze. You're listening to Catch the Craze.
You're listening to Catch the Craze.
Candy girl.